I'm going to call to order the meeting of the Port Commission of the Port of Houston Authority. It's Tuesday, January 25th, 9:15 a.m. So we will we'll get after it and start our meeting. Let's see. Excuse me. Item number one, is that mine?
Number one is
Government Legislative Operation Community Matters.
Call to order.
I got call to order. We're good.
Yeah, it's your opening remarks.
Okay, great. So let me just start by talking about the past a little bit. I think this is our first meeting in 2022, and our last meeting was in December, of course. What I want to do in this meeting to start with is look back a little bit, because looking back helps us prepare for the future, and the future is going to be incredibly bright here at the Port. We had an incredibly busy year. I want to just congratulate and thank all the Port of Houston team for an amazing 2021. Our people are amazing. They work hard every single day. They move more cargo than ever before at the port in 2021. And when you think about it, we're talking about, in spite of supply chain interruptions, COVID, labor shortages, freezing weather, hot in the summer. I mean, we're talking about an amazing team of people, not just Port Houston folks, but our other partners, the ILA, the seafarers, the pilots, the Army Corps of Engineers, the Coast Guards, and industry along with that. And when you think about the best year ever, I don't like to talk too much about numbers, but we just came out of an audit committee meeting, and when you look at the port generated $263 million of free cash flow last year, which exceeded our budget by $81 million. And in spite of all the challenges that everyone had at port, we kept our folks safe, our police, our fire, responded to lots of different events and things. And what this does, and the amazing numbers that our people generated, doesn't just happen. It's about one person moving some cargo one at a time. It's about team members supporting each other. And you don't create numbers like that or get numbers like that without an amazing team effort throughout all the systems. And what these budget numbers or the actual numbers really do is it creates our ability to invest in the future. It's great to have the highest cash flow we ever had in our history, but the even better part of that is it allows us to make investments in our future to create more jobs and to create more value for the region, and that's what we're about doing. So I'm just incredibly proud of our team, and I want to thank you for your support and hard work. I do want to hit a couple of other items, and just to highlight them, Project 11. When you think about our deepening and widening project, we are on schedule to start the 11.5-mile stretch in Galveston Bay from Bolivar Roads to Redfish Island. We really appreciate Great Lakes and Dock Company's commitment to retrofit their dredges to levels to improve the environmental benefits through lower emissions. That's a big win, not only for the port, but also for the region. We are fully funded on Project 11 through Segment 3, which is huge when you think about it. That's beyond the Bay Reach part. The Bay Reach should be completed by 2024, and that fully funded includes three major pieces. One, we completed the bond transaction, selling our revenue bonds in December at incredibly low interest rates, well oversubscribed because the Corps is so financially strong. The Corps of Engineers received $19 million and some change last year for Project 11. And then just recently last week, the Corps of Engineers was awarded $142.5 million for Segment 3, their share of Segment 3. The Port Authority already has its share, its capital set up for Segment 3 already. So we have fully funded through Segment 3 Project 11, and that is absolutely amazing. When you think about last year at this time, we had zero funding. So when you think about the progress we've made, it's just absolutely amazing. And that's going to create a safer port. The widening creates value, letting larger ships go through, but it also makes a safer port and a more dynamic port longer term. And that'll be completed by 2024, the Bay Reach part. Other notable accomplishments in 2021 that I want to highlight, we started the business equity division, small business, minority, and women-owned businesses, to create a supplier diversity program. And I think that was a really great thing to do mid-year, and now we're trying to figure out how to expand the capacity of businesses so we can successfully create value for everyone in the region. Our successful small business program is still really good. Over $600 million of business has been moved through that small business program, and that's still very vibrant, and I'm really proud of our teams putting that together. We improved our safety record. When you think about lost time, incident rates are well below industry levels. We want people to come to work, to do well, and to go home safely. And that's a key element of our program, and we did a great job last year. We need to improve that because one injury is really devastating to that person and their family. So we need to constantly be vigilant in that in the business that we're in. We implemented the Port Houston Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Plan, where we had a robust discussion about how do we, as Port Houston, become more diverse. How do we make sure that we are equitable and inclusion and including folks throughout the community? And that will be another work in progress this year. There's when you think about safety and DEI and business equity, it's not completed, we're done, we're happy, we're good. It's a constant work in progress. It's not it's a destination that we're going to be on this road to improve on an ongoing basis. We published our first what we call EF squared G report, and we also had our first sustainability action plan published as well. I think our commitment to the environment is there. It's huge. These are first steps. This year we will add new information to those. We will include specific measures and metrics on how we're going to get to carbon neutral by a certain time frame, and that will be published and debated and discussed with the community as we go forward. So 2021 was an incredibly great year for the port, but the best is yet to come. And so I do want to thank commissioners for your hard work. I know this is not easy and your pay is really high, but I think that you should be proud of the group and proud of our team for getting us to this point and being positioned in the future. There's one last thing that I want to do before I get commissioner comments. Last year the Houston Pilots celebrated their 100-year anniversary, which is pretty amazing when you think about it. We rely on our pilots every single day. Bring the ships through the channel and back out in a safe and efficient way. And we just want to honor them through a Port Commission resolution honoring them on their 100th anniversary. This will be executed and sent to the pilots. I want to thank the pilots for everything they do every single day. It's really important, and they do a great job for the port. So with that, thank you, commissioners, and any commissioner comments at this point?
Is a motion in order?
Do we need a motion?
Yeah.
Oh, we need a motion. Okay, so some.
I move that we approve the resolution honoring the pilots on their 100th.
Second.
Okay. Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, great. Thank you. Commissioners, any comments? Start the year.
Hard to add anything to that.
Yeah. Keep it going.
It's been a great year.
Yeah, it really has. It's been fun. Challenging, but fun.
It's really good to see those docks full.
Yep.
So I'd just like to say one thing is with the financial reports you give, the statistics are proving that going forward, the ports has got land and capital is going to really explode.
Mm-hmm.
And we seem to be in that category right now.
We do. Yep. Okay, any other comments? Okay, let's move to item C1. Why don't we take these together, C1 and C2, which is approval of the Port Commission meetings on November 18th.
Motion.
Okay. Any questions or comments, or all in favor say aye?
Aye.
Aye.
Perfect. All right, Roger, you're up.
Yeah, well, thanks, Chairman, and good morning, everyone. Thanks for highlighting some of those, the many achievements that we had in 2021. We're really proud of the year that we have. But before we put 2021 behind us, we're, you know, and as we do that, we look for the opportunities that we have in the upcoming year, which I think are going to be tremendous. 2020 was a category, it put in the category of kind of being unusual. 2021 was unusual in itself, the tremendous challenges with the supply chain, but I'm extremely proud of those that work at Port Houston, with Port Houston, for Port Houston, together, you know, to work through a lot of these barriers that we saw this year to maintain success and successful commerce through our port. Just a few of the operational specific procedures. I mean, the general cargo and break bulk in 2021 came storming back, 52% increase over 2020 with bagged goods, auto imports. We're seeing containers actually come through the Turnin Basin now. And somebody mentioned the ships that we have. Every day it's been like this for the last month or two with ships. I think for the first time in my career, maybe not others that have been here longer than me, but we had a ship at every dock that we own and operate at the public facilities for several days in a row. So, and it continues to stay busy at the Turnin Basin as well as the container terminals. Steel bounced back very strong, up to 3.4 million tons for last year. You know, again, goods were seeking creative measures, talking about containers and things coming in on general cargo vessels that came in normally on container ships. And the container side, in 2020, we had a lot of some slim months in the summer. We had no slim months in 2021. It was pedal to the metal the whole year. And again, our staff and everybody worked through all of the challenges that we had. You know, the overall tonnage of all of our terminals for the year set a record at 52 million tons. The previous record was in 2019, actually, with 48 million tons of cargo coming across the docks at the public wharf. Container-wise, we eked past 3 million TEUs in 2021, I mean in 2020. Get my year straight. 2021, we did almost 3.5 million TEUs. That much growth in 1 year, 15% higher than 20. So all the challenges with the supply chain, we did that with tremendous increase of import volume. Gates were, you know, still have capacity, but more than 11,000 transactions each and every day. We do have some ships at anchor. We have had. But not to the extent that other ports are experiencing. We have ships at anchor today, you know, a handful of them out there due to various reasons. We've had tide, we've had fogs, and then we've had other issues with being able to, you know, Omicron has not avoided Houston, you know, and getting the labor that we need to have and to get the gangs to do things. But we're in the right direction and we're in good shape. Containers are still sitting on our terminal longer, twice as long than they did in the pandemic, not the 9 or 10 days they were before, around 7 days now, which is taking up a lot of space that we're having to manage. We're doing some things that working with the industry, January 31st, we're going to open up with an extended hour in the morning that our trucking industry has asked for, 6 a.m. We work with the labor to get those things done. So we're going to be open from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. to give that extra hour in the morning that's very valuable to a lot of the export exporters that I've talked to, maybe new resin shippers and things like that with heavyweight cargo and stuff. So a lot of good things going on. But it, and we briefly talked about the financial impact of that. You know, $260 million in cash flow is good. Our revenues went from less than $400 million to $500 million. A lot of that, again, was because, you know, of the increase in volume, but also storing containers, which isn't free. You know, there's a lot of expense and acreage, real estate taken up, and we're having to accelerate, take this cash flow and accelerate our investments to have the capability and capacity for future growth, which we're going to get with the channel that's going to be deepening and widening pretty soon. So anyway, so a lot of great things going on. Oh, and by the way, I'll mention we'll publicize this a little bit. We've got three new cranes showing up at Bayport. I think the date is February the 3rd, so stay tuned. We'll be advertising that when they show up, and it's going to be quite a shot to see, and it's well needed, certainly needed some new larger cranes to handle these larger ships coming into Houston. So stay tuned for that. We'll be messaging in that. So we've been able to do this with all the people, and it's very important, but just a couple things that I want to highlight. You know, we have our Ready Awards that we did last time with, you know, those that we recognize amongst ourselves, people that have, for our core values of respect, excellence, accountability, and diligence. We had a couple of those last month. We got somebody here today that has achieved all of those by their peers, and then they get what we call the U, the Y-O-U Award, for being recognized for going above and beyond. We got Eric Dickinson here today. He's our assistant maintenance manager. Stand up.
Yay.
So he's been recognized for all the core values by different people from Mike Jenyack, you know, for being a part of many cross-functional teams that we have, the return to work team, bringing that value and knowledge and expertise, working with our interns on community projects that we have. You know, I'm not going to go through everything, but respect, excellence, accountability, and diligence. Eric certainly embodies all of these things, and we appreciate what you've done. We want to recognize you with that, the U Award, for being ready as a port team member, and thanks for representing us very well, Eric.
It's my pleasure.
Thank you. A couple of other.
He's not here.
I'm going to recognize Kent Stillwell was supposed to be here in person today. One of our police officers who earlier this month got his 40-year service with Port Houston. So very proud of him. We've known him for a long time. He's a good employee. And while we're talking about 40 years, on January 13th, we had another person in this room reach 40 years of employment with Port Houston, Mr. Tom Height. Your service as well.
Started when you were 10?
Yes.
12.
The old gray fox.
So, you know, last but not least, yeah, and Rick covered some of these, and generally, I'm not going to go into detail on. We accomplished many things. We set goals as the organization. The commission sets goals. For me, those are cascaded across the organization into many different facets for objectives and targets, and I can tell you a lot of effort was put into that this year. Rick mentioned the primary ones, but, you know, the ones that have to do with people. And this list is going to be compiled and distributed to the whole organization, and we'll distribute as well. But I think recognizing that I'd be here for another hour doing that. But things like our employee, people helping people, contributed, donated $50,000 of their donated sick leave and vacation to help others for catastrophic relief during the freeze last year. You know, people helping people. We've created, you know, recognize it's a goal of the organization, But we recognize across the organization, we need to have the ability for our employees to navigate their career, plan for succession. We've got a program in place there that intentionally acknowledges our need and our ability to grow our own. Our PSEO group assisted the Houston International Seafarer during COVID vaccinations, you know, making sure that they got seafarers that didn't have that availability get over 12,000 vaccinations right here in Houston by helping them with access to and from the ship. COVID, you know, I could say that over again. Grants awarded to our communities, sustainability action plans, you know, preparing for what our goals are and how we're going to fund those goals going forward are very important. Moving trains, which we haven't historically done, things that we need to keep cargo flowing in and out of our port are very high priorities of ours. And you know, I could go on and on. Rick already talked about business equity, our infrastructure, across many, many functions in this port to be able to get the bond funding that we have now. I can't go without saying myself the importance of safety and how much we're looking out for one another as being a safe port, what was already mentioned. But it takes our people. We're going to pass these around, but many, many accomplishments this year. We're going to set goals again, new goals, and some of the continuous of the existing goals for next year. I'm just proud of everybody that works for this organization for stepping up in tough times and making sure to deliver the biggest year ever. So, anyway, thank you for your time.
Commissioners, any questions or comments?
I just think we're a great example of when people work together in good faith, there's no limit to what you can accomplish. They've done a great job. I really appreciate it. Keeping my folks busy.
Yet to be as well as we did, and it wasn't like a perfect year. It was a perfect year in what we did, but we had to come through some awful tough times.
Yes.
And yet we still accomplished a tremendous amount. And it's very hands off to you people. Did a hell of a job.
You know, there's an observation I've made for years around here that, and you were talking about that what we've done, the things we put in place. A lot of other ports are following our lead. That's been going on since day one. I mean, the initial dredging plan and then port security, on and on, oil spill response. I mean, we've been leading for years, and that's the position I like to be in, leading. So I really appreciate, again, what you're doing, Roger, Chairman.
You talk about the dredging, you know, we got a team, large team, everybody contributed. You know, we set out to this. We want to be the model of how to get this done, innovation, and we're on that right track with speed and funding and all that stuff. We got to get it done, and I think we are living up to that commitment.
Any other questions, comments? Okay, great. So Tom is going to go through a discussion of. In the last commission meeting, we talked about all these projects that we have going on. How are we managing them? How are we monitoring them from a change order perspective, from an on-time and on-budget perspective? And then additional information on sort of who do we do business with and in various areas in construction, and then how do we do and some of this is related to building capacity in the community. So you have to have information to understand before you can build capacity for our supplier diversity program. So there's a little bit of information about that. So Tom?
So this is our first shot at this. When somebody asks you to do a report, you never know really what they want on the report. So what I ask each of you to do is if there's additional information you'd like to see on this one pager, let me know. Basically what we're doing is exactly what the chairman said. We're showing you what the original contract was for, if there was any change orders, percentage of that for both the construction side and the design side, and then some comments on where we are if it requires on the side. So if you see anything you want to add it on there, let us know, and we'll do that in the future. We plan on bringing you something like this every month, and then every quarter we'll do a more detailed breakdown of some of the major projects. Obviously, we're not going down to the, you know, the $130,000 projects. The lowest one on here is in the $700,000-$800,000. But the quarterly one will have all projects. So again, just let me know what you want in addition. Also attached to this is just something that I've run for myself to keep an idea of what's going on and who we're using. This is part of the business equity trying to expand our pool of contractors. And when I say contractors, I mean architects and CMTs and all that. It's not just construction, but these lists, there's three of them. They're color-coded, and it's going to give you the top firms that we've used since 2008. One is for design, one is for construction, and one is for construction material testing. So it's just some information. There's nothing really for you to do with these other than understand that this is the dollars we have spent with these vendors through the years for these categories. So that's all we're trying to do. And again, this is just something I have had, and I thought it'd be good to give to each of you so you can understand what's going on. So let us know if you got any comments or changes required. We'll get them done.
Thank you, Tom. I'd just like to ask Tom, you or Roger or someone, do we see any difficulties going forward as far as ordering our equipment that we need in these terminals, like cranes? Is there going to be any kind of shortages or backups when we need cranes and we need top loaders and we need mule trains, trucks? Do we see that?
There has been, just because of COVID-related, you know, factory slowdowns, because all these cranes are purchased in foreign countries. They're not made here.
Enough.
They're mainly in Asia. So that could be a challenge. Things that we buy domestically, you know, shouldn't be a challenge unless there's a problem, you know, getting steel or whatever. But, you know, and the other caveat, whether, you know, there's also a push for near zero emissions equipment as well, which, you know, there's still a lot of pilot programs on those things, right, as well. So if that mandate comes, you know, then you know, that could have an impact too. So, but we've had a slowdown in getting shipped shore cranes because of, they're all made in Asia, right, mainly China. I don't know what the future holds of that is, but you know, others are made in other countries. What we want to do is, instead of you know, in a way to expedite and plan for the future, is have a long-term agreement with a not-to-exceed number of pieces of equipment so that we don't have to go out and bid for three cranes here and two cranes here or whatever. I want to be able to buy up to 20 over the next 10 years or whatever with some type of prearranged pricing with, you know, just to make the ease of that and do it more quickly and when we can, of course, with a commission approval, but at least we need to have those type of contract to be have a little more flexibility to get things quicker.
That's where I was trying to go, and I'm glad to hear you say that, because I do know other ports are looking at that too, so that you project it out for so many years and buy it, and whenever you need it, you're in line to get it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We have to do it
this way. When we widen this channel, it's not going. We all know this. We say
we need to have agreements in place so that there's pricing known, that we go to the next port commission, get approval to buy a crane per that contract.
That's good. I'm proud you're doing that.
Any other things?
Oh, Kent Stillwell just showed up.
Yep, there he is.
Kent, we want to congratulations for 40 years of service. Happy talked about it here earlier, but anyway, thanks for joining us today, and thanks for your service to support Houston.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Tom got 4 years too.
We've talked.
He came to work when he was 10.
Well, that's why.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate you. Appreciate your service again.
Absolutely.
All right.
Okay, one question I have on this is, are we going to have a separate schedule on Project 11?
Yes, and we're working on that because we're still trying to get the next phase on there before
right. Okay, because that one's going to be really important.
It will be in a whole different report.
It's
going to get lost.
And the key to that, too, is making sure we capture the cost properly, right?
Mm-hmm. We've actually implemented a whole different tracking system for POI.
Okay, great. Any other comments or questions, commissioners? I think it's a great start, and I appreciate the information.
Yep.
Okay, so we believe now we'll go to public comments. So,
can I say something, sir? I wasn't on the list.
Well, you're on the list, but let me go through the kind of the list according to we have first in, first out here, and so the first speaker. It's Lane Morrow, Jr. of the East Harris County Empowerment Council. So I think you're remote, Lane, correct? Let's make sure we get him on.
He is in the list. He just needs to unmute.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm unmuted on my phone, but I forgot to unmute it on the actual screen.
You're good to go.
Okay. Thank you all so very much for allowing me an opportunity to speak this morning. I've been working with East Harris County Empowerment Council since June of last year, and we're lucky enough to be a part of the HPCC. So I just wanted to share that our organization supports the efforts to reduce and eliminate pollution, and we're trying to support the effort to move towards zero emission equipment so that we can help protect the health of the East Harris County community. We're happy to see the port take the issue of environmental safety to heart when it awarded its first dredging contract last fall, choosing to work with a company that promised to use cleaner equipment to limit air pollution. With the announcement of the $142 million to the port for widening and deepening the infrastructure Investment in Jobs Act, we want to see the port continue its commitment to limiting its pollution for all of the dredging contracts procured for Project 11. Is the port willing to commit to that?
Well, it's hard to go backwards when you need to go forward, right? So
absolutely.
We clearly are going to focus on that.
Thank you so much for your time.
Absolutely. Okay, next up is Leticia Blaza from Air Alliance Houston. Leticia, are you connected here?
Yes, can you guys hear me?
There you are, go ahead.
Okay, great, thank you. Thank you for allowing me to speak this morning. Happy New Year to everyone. I'm sure many of you know, I'm with Air Alliance Houston, and we advocate for policies to reduce air pollution because we believe everyone has the right to breathe clean air, and where you live, work, learn, or play should not determine your health outcomes. And so today I wanted to speak to port commissioners about port initiatives aimed to reduce pollution and foster a more sustainable environment. Houston's port is certainly leading other ports in projects and financial gains, but we also want to be the example in how we do this environmentally responsible and not negatively impact nearby roads. And we're currently reviewing this document alongside our partners with the Healthy Ports Community. I'm so sorry. Can you hear me now?
We lost about 15 seconds of your last comment after responsible environment. Go ahead.
Okay. Sorry about that. I had turned off my camera to see if that would be better.
You're good now.
Okay, great. So the Houston's port is certainly leading other ports in projects and financial gains, but we also want to be an example of how to do this environmentally responsible and not negatively impact nearby residents' health. The port recently released an updated clean air strategy plan at the end of 2021. We certainly are happy about that, but we are currently reviewing this document alongside our partners at the Healthy Ports Community Coalition, and we hope to see strong targets for emissions reductions. This has been one of our major concerns in the last version of the plan. Just as you guys have spoken here today regarding financial targets and metrics being set and met and bringing much accomplishments, this is similar to what we're asking for, but on an environmental spectrum. I want to give thanks to Rich and Maria Aguirre for this past year for sitting with us and also speaking with community, attending our town halls, and listening to our concerns about negative health impacts and living close to the port. Another port initiative geared towards sustainability.
Watch again.
The ideas could really benefit our community. Can y'all hear? Or did I lose y'all?
Yeah, you cut out right when you began your next thought.
Sorry. Another port initiative geared towards sustainability is the ES2G plan, the Environmental, Social, Safety, and Governance plan. Some of the ideas could really benefit our community if implemented. So we would like to know how the port is intending to fund these initiatives. Thank you.
Absolutely. We appreciate your comments and your collaboration and support for our efforts. As I mentioned in my initial comments, the ES2G report was a first step, and our sustainability action plans are our first step. And clearly what we need to do is we need to have specific measurements and specific financial commitments assigned to these items, and that's something that our port team is going to be doing this year, and that we hope that you're involved in that discussion, and we'll have a further discussion on that later. So thank you for your comments and your collaboration so far. Next up is commissioners, any comments on that? Okay. Next up is Captain Bill Deal. He is with the Houston Port Bureau and also former captain of the port. So, Bill, you have the platform.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Yeah, as the chairman said, my name is Bill Deal. I'm the president of the Greater Houston Port Bureau. We're a trade organization, 250 companies in the port. We work with you a lot. I represent a board of directors of 34 industry leaders, and they wanted me to come here first before we made an announcement later today, which is a pretty exciting announcement, that we are going to recognize Chairman Rick Campo as our Maritime Person of the Year for 2022.
All right. Very low bar,
huh? Very high bar. But it obviously, as I listened to the meeting as we were going on, obviously everything is going in the right track, and that comes from leadership of yourself, of Port Houston staff, everything. And industry is watching, and they're very pleased, and they want to recognize that by selecting you. They like the way the project development is going, balanced with sustainability and everything, and they just wanted to recognize them. Obviously, you know, our dinner is the largest maritime dinner in the nation, and we're very honored to serve you. We are going to recognize you. We are going to make that announcement public today, and they wanted me to hold off before I brought it to the board to share it with you, because they feel like it's partly you, it's Port Houston, it's everything that he does to represent you, and they wanted me to bring that to you first to tell you that we are going to announce this today. So
yes.
Thank you.
Very cool.
Congrats.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Very honored. And clearly, this, as I said earlier, this is a team effort, not just one person. But we need one person at a time to do things, right? And that's the whole benefit of having a great team and a great support service. So thank you. I'm very humbled and honored for that. And it is about Port Houston and not really about me, but I appreciate that anyway. Okay, so our last speaker, I believe, is Niels Ahlen. Ahlen. And he's with WGMA. Niels, good to see you.
What a positive meeting. A lot of good things going on here. I'm with the West Gulf Maritime Association, Mr. Chairman, Port Commissioners, Port Staff, and Captain Deal. I retired from WGMA in about 4 days. I've been coming in and out of this building since it opened, and prior to that, I was a preschool intern with Tom.
There you go.
At the building downtown, and I look out the window, and I remember boarding ships, handling cargo, selling this board, and I wanted to call, come and thank y'all for the great service, for the adventure. I have a reception that y'all are all welcome to attend on Thursday, the 27th, from 2 to 4:30. It's at the West Gulf Maritime Association. We'll have some great food and a variety of beverages. In my career, I've traveled a lot. I've been invited to be a guest speaker, a panelist, this and that, international president of the Propeller Club. And wherever I went, people always asked me about the Port of Houston and how we do things here. And we hit on that collaboration, teamwork, leading edge, being proactive, great labor. So I have 3 minutes, but I'll end it with a warm thank y'all very much.
Good luck. Australia Mills is maybe the only one that I can remember that can testify what I've been telling you guys about this channel. He joined about 45 years ago?
Yeah. How long? Buddy Raspberry.
Yeah, right. He used to hire the labor for the West Gulf Maritime from the longshore unions, and he can tell you there was days where we would have 100 longshore gangs ordered in any given day. Today, we're flooding ourselves with 40 gangs. So you can imagine back then, 100 gangs a day is what they were ordering. And you did a great job, and I hope you well, Mills.
Well, you'll see me. I'm going to stay in the industry. Just do something different.
I got you. But anyway, congratulations and good luck.
Thank
you. Congratulations, Neil. It's been great to work with you all these years. You've been a good friend of the port, and you've been a good friend of labor.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate it. And we look forward to working with you in the future.
Yeah. You'll see
me. Awesome. Yeah, thank you. Okay, I think that's our list of public speakers, correct, Eric?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so let's move on then to the meat of the meeting, or the items that we need to go through. So we'll start with executive, and right off, I'm going to pull number one off the agenda. We have some last-minute details that need to be small details, no big deal, that we can get done between now and the next meeting, so we're going to pull that off the schedule. So with that, Tom, do you want to introduce the
So the other one in executive is to acknowledge a gift that the port received from Magellan Terminals of $1,000 for our fire department. They have been doing this to first responders in the area, and the port is a well-known entity helping these companies. So they brought it in. We will use it for some kind of equipment for the firefighters.
And technically, we have to accept it.
Yeah.
So
over how much?
Is there a motion?
No, so moved.
Anything over 500 and directly to put it in the
minutes. Okay.
Second.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Please put in the minutes, Eric.
I will do that.
Okay. There are no items under business equity. We'll go to commercial.
Commercial. H2 is to approve the two lease amendments to Kinder Morgan Petco. This is out at the bulk plant. They've been there since 2007. The original contract was a 10-year contract with 4 5-year options. This is the second of the four options. It's a very good partnership we have with them, and we're glad to see that they're going to stick around at least 5 more years. We don't see them leaving, but it's always good when they sign back up for another term. But so I ask the commission to approve items H1 through H3.
So moved.
Second. Any questions or comments, commissioners? Hearing none, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
H1, 2, and 3 pass. Okay. On finance?
Under finance, I-1 is to approve staff recommendation for the purchase of insurance from various carriers for our primary and excess property and casualty insurance. This covers the $472 million in total insured value that we have. biggest chunk of that is cranes, which is $276,000. The amount we're asking for includes about $225,000 that we're not paying right now, but when the cranes that are on the water get here and are up and running, then we're going to have to insure those. So rather than come back later, we're just putting that into this request. I-2 is to authorize the funding for our PHA self-insurance loss fund for workers' comp and general liability claims. We do this on an annual basis. We have a third party, Milliman, does an independent actuarial review of where they go in and they review the historical losses and assess the projected claims liabilities to ensure that we have a healthy balance, which we do, and we actually are Milliman projected $1.8 million to be put into the fund. Our fund balance is well over what our ratios in the plan call for, so we're going to put $1 million rather than $1.8 in there.
Isn't this down from last year?
Yeah. Because it was more like the, but last year, so far in 2021, because things don't always happen right away with insurance claims. We may get something 3 months from now. But through December 31st for 2021, we only had $261,000 in claims. So that's why this fund is very strong. I-3 is to approve the audited financial statements for the PHA restated retirement plan as of July 31st, 2021. The audit committee met right before this meeting. The pension and benefits met last week to discuss the same thing. Both groups have given their blessing for it. So we have to get this approved by the full commission. Then we have to file it with the pension board. So that's why the timing is like it is. That has to be filed in February. So, just an update in case you weren't here when the audit committee goes. As of December 31st, can't really say today because of what's going on, but the fund had $230 million and it was funded at 109.6%. So it's still a strong program. So I ask the commission to approve items I-1 through I-4.
So moved.
Second.
Questions or comments? All fair to say aye.
Aye.
Okay. And 1, 2, 3, and 4, finance approved.
So infrastructure, J-1 is to approve staff recommendations to award a contract to English and Associate Architects. This is for the design of the Port Coordination Center renovation. It's an older building. We're having some issues. We're looking at what we can do. We already had a third party come in and give us their recommendations so that we could put it in the specs. So we understand the problems. Now we're going to get the design for those renovations. Now, from the time we started this to now, the estimated cost of construction has gone to a level that if we do this design and it comes back to those numbers, I will probably come back to build a new building, because if it's too much, then we're just not going to fix a building from the late 50s. But if it's reasonable, we'll fix it. If not, we'll come back and build a whole new building. But I can't say that right now. So I ask the commission to approve items J-1 through J-6.
So moved.
Second.
Well, any questions, comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. So items 1 through J-3-6 approved.
So operations, the K-1 is to approve staff recommendations to award a contract to Hillary Machinery for the purchase of milling equipment to fabricate parts and specialty tools. This one's an interesting item because we are replacing a lathe that was purchased by the port in 1961. So I think we got our money's worth out of that one, and it's time to get a new one. K-5 is to authorize additional funding to Ambassador Services for continuing pandemic response services at Barbers Cut and Bayport. We have come back to the commission. This will be the sixth time to add money to this contract. The normal, forget pandemic, but the normal cleaning contract is on the street right now to be redone. We will probably bring that to you in April. This $100,000 will get us through April with the extra cleaning that we have to do, which we do once a week for everything. And then if there's a hit at a specific location, we do the cleaning immediately on that area, vehicles, whatever it is. Just to give you a little history, we are so far, we have spent right at $9 million on COVID. It is about $4.3 million is for temperature testing. Remember when you used to come in, which we're no longer doing. We have spent $3.9 million on cleaning, $730,000 on supplies, and then another $134,000 on rentals. We've rented vans to be able to move the ILA so we don't have to cram them all in too few vehicles. So things like that. So that gets us to the $9 million. What we have done and is complete, now we're just waiting on FEMA, is the first round of FEMA requests, which they changed their rules in September of 2020, because when it first came out, it was very generous. And then they realized, uh-oh, we have to do something. So they changed the rules. So we have filed for the pre-September of 2020 of $3 million. We have had conversations with the team of people, and all our paperwork seems to be in order. And so we feel that will go fairly quickly once it gets into the system, quickly for people. We're still waiting on some light money, just to give you an idea. We also have another $5.2 million, the post-September 2020, that we are dealing with FEMA right now, again, making sure our paperwork is in order and we're doing everything they want us to do. So we will be filing that fairly soon. So hopefully we'll get at least a good chunk of that money back because we have followed the rules. We have tracked everything, and we believe we're right on line. K-10 is to authorize revisions to our tariff, 14 and 15, which are Barbers Cut and Bayport. The three items that are involved are helping us manage export receiving windows, limiting how many ships will be allowed per service in terms of with the pandemic issues and the backups. We're getting multiple ships in the same service that are hitting back to back to back, and that's not how the system can work in terms of the dwell time that Roger was talking about. Another one is just cleaning up some language from us handling hazardous cargo, that it was language in the tariff that we have not been following for years. We stopped that process, but we never changed the tariff, so we're taking that language out. And the third one's very important. As you heard, we're starting to run that rail ramp at Barbers Cut now. We're up to a train a week and pushing to get even more. The problem is, prior to this, we had a third party ran the ramp for us. So we didn't have any of those charges in our tariff. So that's what this will also do, is add those charges to our tariff. So I ask the commission to approve items K-1 through K-12.
Second.
Mr. Chair, I have comments.
I have one on 11.
Go ahead.
You got 362,000 mitigating 2 acres. What does this company do?
This is actually the company that is leasing the property. They handle containers for one of our lines, containers, maintenance, things like that on the south side of Port Road. This is that area where we paid to clear and grub the whole area. 100 acres plus, and we found a chunk, about 30 acres, where an old disposal area was, that it has some soil that is not capable of taking us building on it. So we still have that 30 acres. There's part of that little corner of that is this 2 acres we're talking about. They're already leasing 20 acres right there. They want that 2 acres. So as we try to figure out how we're going to do 30 acres, they have come up with a plan to fix those 2 acres on their own. Our engineering has looked at it. Our consultant or our contractor has looked at it. Everybody's fine with what they're going to do. So rather than hold them up on those 2 acres while we try to figure out the bigger piece, we're going to let them do it, and then we'll abate them that amount through their lease.
Okay. Thank you.
I have questions on 9 and 12. On 9, I realize it's an action for 4 barges, but we're comfortable that we're not going to need that dock space for the barges up.
Yes, because in the contract, they have to have a tug with those barges at all times, and they have to move when we tell them they got to move. So we've been doing this for a few years now. We've not had a problem. We put them at docks that we know from the ship arrivals that nothing's going to be there for the next day or two. But if that happens, they got to go.
Where do they move?
They just push them down to other areas. You know, it's the Wild West out there. They're just trying to make
this stuff. Well, we're out of town. And then on 12, I guess it may be a question for Eric. When we award a contract, when we get a contract proposal, Eric, and we award it, we don't have language that's a set contract, and we then come in and jack the price up before we sign the contract, actual contract?
We typically do, yes. But this contract hasn't been signed yet, and I think we decided it's in our best interest to adjust the proposal to reflect that fixed price for these.
Yeah, I'm not recalling that I see this come, have seen this come through before, but I mean, that's not a good trend. I mean, with the prices going crazy, I mean, if we're having to come back, if people are changing the bids on us after we accept them.
We've had that exact conversation. I agree with you that it's not a best price, especially in our price environment. And typically, of course, this is very unusual anyway, because typically when we bring items to the commission, they're already half pricing.
Right.
So this is really very much an anomaly. You know, I think it's more a product of the kind of relationship we've had with this supplier. It's been perhaps a little bit more informal.
We may have to formalize it.
And this is a sole source.
Right.
Oh, I know.
So if I understand it, we bid it, they give us a price, and then they turn around and adjust the price?
Yep.
The price included.
Why didn't we bid it to begin with?
Well, we didn't bid it in sole source.
It was sole
source. It's their grain.
So we'll just stick it to you one way or the other.
It was a question of whether the way they proposed it had us paying for certain charges and what we wanted to turn around and put that as a fixed charge on their behalf. So that's really what this was entailed. That the proposal, as made to us, if I recall properly, did not include certain customs duties and things like that. And so the determination was made, rather than us take on that charge, that we adjust the contract so that they would have to pay at a fixed rate.
So we're comfortable that that is the actual rate?
We believe we're actually going to end up a little bit better as a result of agreeing to this fixed rate.
I think they showed backup or showed you something to talk about what's in here, the freight, customs duties, taxes. They showed you some.
They showed it to me, they showed it to our staff.
Okay.
Obviously, we don't want to make this a practice, but again, given our long-term relationship with Coney, it's a little bit of a, you know, again, of an
off. Any other questions, comments? Okay, all in favor of items K1 through 12, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, something on people, security emergency operations.
M1 is to approve an award to Metro Fire Apparatus Specialist for the purchase of 10 self-contained breathing apparatuses, 10 cylinders, and 10 masks for our fire department. This is year 4 of a 4-year replacement program, so now all of our tanks and our masks have been upgraded to the current standards. We will probably start the cycle again in about 5 weeks. So I ask the commission to approve items M1 and M2.
Motion. Second.
Questions, comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Technology.
So under technology, item N3 is to amend and extend the contract with Comcast Cable Communications Management for additional circuits supporting the disaster recovery data center. This we've had a 5-year contract with them. They came with some new upgrades to the system, and it's beneficial to us to take those as part of this agreement. This will help us. It's going to double the bandwidth between Barberstown and Bayport. There's a computer. The servers and stuff are at Bayport, so they both talk to each other. So doubling that bandwidth will help us. It adds hardware for redundancy between the Bayport computer room, I'll just call it computer room, and our off-site disaster recovery. So when we had that thing this past year where the systems went down, or if a system goes down, or if we got to take a system down for anything, this will give us more redundancy in terms of how we get to the off-site and back. And it also allows us to prioritize certain networks. We found when we started turning stuff back on after we had that problem in 21, you know, it was, we'll try to do them all at once. Well, we learned that we should have gone in and said, you know, that one's more important than that one. So we can now prioritize. So when we start turning them back on, it goes in the order we want it to go, not just the whole thing. So it's a very beneficial to keep our systems on. We found out this year, our systems go down, we're in trouble.
Yeah. And this is also cheaper than the last one.
It's a little bit, a little bit more.
A little bit more, but with more circuits.
Correct.
Not per circuit base.
Correct.
Okay.
So I ask the commission to approve items N1 through N4, 3.
Motion.
Any other questions or comments? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
N1 through N3 pass. Okay, I think we're ready for our executive session, and I think we only have one item on there. That's Eric.
That's correct. I mean, I will recite several others, but I think we decided to determine that.
Okay, good. Okay, go ahead.
I'm told I can't be heard from over there. So. Rather yelling.
That's unusual. Go ahead.
Sometimes it's important. It's now 10:19 a.m. The Fourth Commission of the Port Houston Authority of Crown County, Texas, will now convene a closed meeting as permitted by the Texas Open Meetings Act with every code to conduct a private consultation with attorneys, including consultations regarding Kozlowski v. Buck et al., proposed amendment, the agreement for legal services with Williams Myers, and deliberate regarding real estate, economic health negotiations and incentives, employment and evaluation of public office of employees, and that would include deliberation regarding the employment agreement with the executive director of the Port Authority and security related matters. The Port Commission will reconvene in public session after the closed meeting to adjourn.
And go into open session. It is 11:32 a.m. on January 25th, and we are now back in open session. So do we have a motion?
We do. I move to authorize the Port Authority to hire a chief audit executive as discussed in the executive session and authorize the executive director to do all things necessary to give effect to the foregoing.
Second.
Okay, any questions or comments? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, motion passed. Thank you. Okay, so closing remarks, let's see, we have the next commission meeting is February 24th. We are going to have a couple of other committee meetings between now and then, including compensation committee that we discussed. This Thursday, we're hosting Senator John Cornyn in our Manchester facility to talk about hydrogen. And there are three bills, I think, bipartisan bills about how to build hydrogen infrastructure and how the port can help and all that. And they are, the senator is going to come. I'm going to host him. And so that'll be interesting. Beyond that, great board meeting, commissioners meeting. Any other comments or questions, commissioners? Okay, great. Well, we'll adjourn the meeting then.